We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com. Come on,
good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans. Welcome to episode 121 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host. We've got a good show for everybody today. We'll go ahead and start the show off the same way we do every week, and that's by jumping into the breakdown. Breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's. O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. We got a short breakdown today. We got a couple good interviews coming up, though. I think that's what I'm most excited about in this episode. I think the only thing I wanted to talk about in the breakdown today is that the HSBC LA Sevens returns on March 5th and 6th. USA Rugby announced this week. Participating teams include USA, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, France, Spain, Canada, Argentina, Kenya, Japan, Australia, Fiji, Samoa, New Zealand, and South Africa. Matches will take place at Dignity Health Sports Park in Los Angeles, of course. Tickets go on sale on Friday, December 10th. By the time you're listening to this podcast, tickets should be on sale and can be purchased at lasevensrugby.com. That's exciting. You know, took a year off for COVID in early 2021, so it's exciting that it's coming back in 2022. Always good to watch some sevens, some of the best sevens in the world right over in LA. So kicking around the idea of going to that one. Of course, we'll talk more about that as it gets a little bit closer. That's all I've really got for the breakdown this week. Nothing else has really happened, I guess, worth mentioning. I guess the big thing, MLR news, Sam Windsor, MLR's all-time leading scorer and friend of the program, signed with Rugby United New York after departing the Houston Sabercats. That was kind of a big deal. I think that was announced on Thursday. So it's kind of like the big thing I wanted to touch on, I guess, in MLR news in terms of American Raptors. Pretty quiet. I don't think any other signings have been announced. Like I said, should be a couple more coming, but teams, roll that stuff out at their own pace. So when it's announced, we will talk about it, of course, but until then, I guess we'll just wait and see. So that does it for the breakdown. Move into all the rugby you can watch this weekend. Got the National Collegiate Rugby, got Men's National 15th, day one on Friday at 11 a.m. Forgot to mute my computer, weekly occurrence. Men's National 15th, day two on Saturday at 11 a.m. Men's National 15s Day 3 on Sunday at 10 a.m. And you can catch all 3 days of that competition on the rugbynetwork.com. Got the Heineken's Champions Cup starting up this weekend. We've got Saints versus Racing 92 on Friday at 1 p.m. Cardiff Blues versus Toulouse on Saturday at 6 a.m. We've got Leinster versus Bath Rugby on Saturday at 8:15 a.m. Bordeaux Beagles, I don't know, I always get tripped up on that, versus Leicester Tigers on Saturday at 8:15 a.m. ASM Claremont versus Ulster on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Bristol Bears versus Scarlet on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Exeter Chiefs versus Montpellier That one trips me up too. I'm sorry. On Saturday at 1 p.m., Canuck versus State Francois. On Sunday at 6 a.m., trips me up on that one too. I'm sorry. I'm getting blown up with text messages right now. Ospreys versus Sharks on Sunday at 6 a.m. Wasps versus Munster on Sunday at 8:15 a.m. La Rochelle versus Glasgow Warriors on Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Olympique versus Harlequins on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. You could catch all those matches on Peacock. And then for the Challenge Cup, we've got Newcastle Falcons versus Worcester Warriors on Friday at 1 p.m. Lyon versus Gloucester on Friday at 2 p.m. Zebre versus Biarritz Olympique on Saturday at 7 a.m. Saracens versus Edinburgh on Saturday at 8:15 a.m. USAP versus Dragons on Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Section Palois versus London Irish on Saturday at 2 p.m. You can catch all of those matches on epcrugby.tv. I think that you have the option on this website to pay per match. So, for instance, if you wanted to watch Newcastle versus Worcester, you can pay $5 for that match. I think that's a good idea. I'm a fan of that model. So that's kind of cool. And then feel free, if I botched all these, let me know. I usually do, and I need somebody to put me in line, tell me what I'm saying wrong. So feel free to hit me up and tell me that I am bad at saying names. We've got the Allianz Premier 15s continuing this weekend. We've got Exeter Chiefs Women versus Gloucester Hart Prairie Women's RFC on Saturday at 6:30 a.m. We've got Loughborough Lightning versus Sale Sharks Women on Saturday at 6 a.m. Worcester Warriors Women versus Bristol Bears Women on Saturday at 6 a.m. Wasps FC Ladies versus DMP Durham Sharks on Saturday at 6:30 a.m. Saracens Women versus Harlequins Women on Sunday at 8 a.m. And you can catch all these matches on premier15s.com. And then last but certainly not least, we have some test rugby. We have Mexico versus the Cayman Islands on Saturday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time on the rugbynetwork.com. I am going to tune into that one. That sounds interesting to me. And that does it for all the rugby you could watch this weekend. Hopefully I didn't miss anything. And I already know that I said some names wrong. Like I said, feel free to let me know what I said wrong. Go ahead and jump in the interview portion of the show. I guess we got two interviews, but the next one will come into required reading. So this interview with American Raptor Sam Phillips is brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. Had a great chat with American Raptor and one of the newest members of the Dallas Jackals, Sam Phillips. Just awesome. Like, you could just tell listening to him talk as the interview went on. He's just so excited to be back in Texas and getting this opportunity to play with the Dallas Jackals. And I think it's awesome because this program, right, this crossover American Raptor program is designed for athletes and people like Sam. Played tight end at Southwestern Oklahoma State University before transferring to Louisiana College. Very talented athlete, had a workout with the New Orleans Saints. If you're interested in hearing more about his background, go listen to the podcast I did with Sam back in May. I'll link it in the description and, of course, in the article that houses this podcast. But like I said, he is the type of athlete and the person that this, you know, program is designed to attract and turn out. So I'm very happy that he gets this opportunity to go down to Dallas and play for the Jackals after only playing rugby for a year. And he's very excited about it, too. So won't ramble on too much more about it. So with that introduction, let's go ahead and kick it to my conversation with American Raptor and one of the newest members of the Dallas Jackals, Sam Phillips. All right, now we welcome back onto the show for the second time, recurring guest, American Raptor, and one of the newest members of the Dallas Jackals, Sam Phillips. Sam, how's it going, man?
Hey, man, it's good. Back in Texas. Happy to be here, ready to get to work in Dallas.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear it. And that's going to be my first question. Just like, what have you been up to, man? How's everything going? You going good?
Yeah, it's going good. You know, I was supposed to go on the Uruguay trip with the boys. I ended up coming back that bye week and talked to my parents and, you know, found out my mom, she got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, unfortunately. So I decided to come back up to Denver and everything and go through practice. And that first day I came back, it was just 2 hours being away from home. So it's good being back, you know, around the family and being back in Texas, being there for her. You know, and on top of that, being able to, you know, go to Dallas and play and be 2 hours away from home, it's kind of, it all worked out in the long run.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm sorry to hear that, man. That's tough. And wishing everybody the best of luck as you go ahead and deal with all that. That's, that's tough to do. But like I said, like you just said, that's good to hear. You're back closer to home now, which I'm sure makes things a little bit easier.
Right. You know, it's a lot easier to jump on the drive 2 hours than to jump on a flight. You know, for 2 hours, had to go through TSA and get
right.
back.
Right.
So,
you got delays and all this stuff. Yeah, that seems to be a little bit more reliable. Right. That's good. I'm glad that that's the case with you at least now.
Right. But yeah, man, so like right now I'm just rehabbing, getting my body right, bulking back up because, you know, you lose a little bit of weight during season training with all the cardio and
for sure.
all that. But just kind of getting myself mentally prepared to report to Dallas on the 28th.
Nice, man. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. How does fall season go for you, like in terms of all the playing and stuff?
The fall was good. It was really solid. I think one of the biggest things that I focused on in the fall was just continuing to build off what I, you know, was working on in the spring, you know, continuing to get better with my skills, technique, and just be more comfortable with the game and get more quality film. And I feel like that's definitely what I did. You know, that was the goal, and I feel like I really accomplished that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, as one of the questions I had, is how much progress have you seen, you know, yourself make? I think, when did you start? I think I saw you around, when did you first come to Denver? Back like early January, like right at the beginning of the new year?
Yeah, it was towards the end, so I was kind of behind the eight ball whenever I came in the beginning of the spring.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of tough playing catch up all spring, but being able to come in the fall, you know, be at that starting spot with everybody else, and then just kind of being patient and just, you know, doing all the little things right, and then getting the game minutes helps too, and just, you know, being, you know, getting used to the flow and everything. I think it's definitely helped me develop and be ready for this MLR opportunity in Dallas.
Yeah, for sure. I can imagine you feel a lot more comfortable just with, you know, the game in general too, right? You've played a little bit now. It's the best way to learn is just play, unfortunately, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So like I said, congrats on signing with Dallas. That's exciting stuff. When did you kind of know, like, are you allowed to talk about the ins and outs of this stuff? I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, that's cool. No, we can talk about it. So kind of going into the fall season, I had Seattle and then Houston. They had been talking to my agent out of New Zealand, you know, kind of through the beginning of the fall and all that. And, I knew that they were interested, but they never really pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back of my head, I knew Dallas was going to be, you know, this inaugural season, expansion year, first year. That was really the offers that I wanted.
Yeah.
But it just kind of never really happened. But then I got to kind of go back to, you know, kind of being a God thing. You know, I heard about my mom with the cancer thing and all that. I ended up, you know, the coaches told me to, you know, go back home and be with her. And literally, as soon as I turned in my exit physical with Zach, our trainer, I get a phone call from Matt, my agent out of New Zealand. He was like, hey, the GM from Dallas just reached out to me about you. I'm going to give her your phone number and then y'all have a conversation. And I ended up having a conversation with her as soon as I got back into Texas, because I ended up driving back that day. And it's kind of cool, man, kind of surreal, because literally as I was walking into the hospital to see my mom whenever I got back, she was getting her second biopsy done, and I literally got to walk into the hospital and tell her, hey, mom, like, I just got an offer from Dallas.
Wow.
You know, so it's just, it's all about timing, man, but, like, you know, something like that, dude, it's a God thing. You can't really make that up. It's crazy how stuff like that happens.
Right.
You know, works out how it's supposed to.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It just always seems that's how it goes, right? Everything works out the way it's supposed to. That's awesome. But, you know, all things considered, that's not how you would want to tell your mom, but like to be able to do that's awesome stuff, man. That's
yeah, man. It kind of lightens up the mood a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's awesome, man. So I know you've talked about being excited just to be back in Texas. I know just to be close to your family during this tough time. But how excited are you just to be back, you know, just in general? I know reading the release that Dallas put out, some of your quotes, like Texas is, you know, football heart of America, right? So to be able to, you know, pursue this new sport and just kind of put it on the map in Dallas has got to be pretty exciting too, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, without a doubt. I mean, just being back for a month and just being able to, like, talk to people, you know, and let people know what's going on. And everybody's pretty surprised that Dallas has a professional rugby team. And then on top of that, whenever I get to explain, hey, you know, we're playing in the old Rangers ballpark, you know, it's legit, you know. And then on top of that, you know, with the TV deal that they made this past season, you know, playing on CBS and Fox Sports, like, being in the national television spotlight, I mean, if you're somebody from the outside looking in, you can't help but, you know, kind of put some respect on that, you know?
Right, be excited.
And, Yeah. And so, you know, even though I'm here in Texas, I mean, yeah, football's king and all that. But what's cool is like everybody that I've talked to, I mean, they've gotten tickets, they're excited to come watch, and they're excited just to see rugby in person for the first time. Because I feel like, you know, I've told a couple people, you know, in the past, I've given them tickets to come to games and all that. They really hadn't had that rugby background. Mm-hmm. And literally everybody has fallen in love with it. I mean, they really enjoy it. I mean, it's hard not to enjoy it.
For sure. And you don't have to have your face all covered up by a face mask football helmet anymore either, right? You'd be on national TV with the hair flown and everything now.
Hey, man, got the blonde hair and the cornrows looking cute, man. You know how I do.
Yeah. Added benefit there. I like it. How's the next question?
Yeah, man.
Oh, go for it.
I was going to say, but just, you know, just be able to you know, be close to my hometown and just kind of help grow the game of rugby in Texas, where it's really not that big. But, I, you know, the more I've been talking to people, it's been actually kind of surprising because there's a lot more people around here that kind of do know rugby, I guess, because, you know, Dallas is so multicultural.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of different backgrounds and people moving in from different places, various places like that. I think that, you know, even though it is the inaugural season in Dallas, I think that we're going to have a pretty good, strong fan base out there as well.
Yeah, I know. So just a couple of, you know, good men's club. You got the Reds and all that down there. So I'm excited for it, man. I think I was looking forward to watching Dallas last year, you know, before they decided to withdraw from the competition for that first season. So I'm excited to see how it all's going now. And I guess the next question I was going to ask is just like, look back to when you think back to last year, right? Do you ever imagine you'd be in this position?
Oh, absolutely not. And it's kind of funny because, you know, in all honesty, man, like, I mean, in the fall, you know, with the Raptors, you know, I didn't get some of the playing time that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that I kept showing up to work, I kept busting my butt, doing the little things right, you know, putting all the effort out there. And it kind of translated into the last couple of matches, like, you know, against Austin and Utah. Mm-hmm. Selects in the fall. I mean, I got in the game. You know, I had quality minutes, and you know, and I made the opportunity of me playing whenever I was out there. And you know, I'm not gonna lie, man. Like there were times where you know, things weren't going my way as far as playing time, and you know, I definitely had considered, you know, maybe, you know, not playing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back at, you know, those moments and everything, like, I'm really glad that I chose to keep grinding and sticking it out, and that ultimately led to the, you know, the MLR contract offer, man. And I can't say how glad I am, you know, with myself that I, you know, stuck it through and didn't quit.
Yeah, there's lessons all over that right there, right? Like you can control, and you just keep grinding no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, and like we talked before, man. So you kind of know my story.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I was like, it sounds like just kind of how you've gone through this life so far, honestly.
Yeah, and it's just like, man, as long as I keep working, hopefully another door will open. You know, if not, then I know that I've done everything I could, and the chips are going to fall where they're going to fall. But in this case, this time, it worked out for me in the long run. So right. I'm very thankful for that.
Well, I'm rooting for you, man. That's awesome, dude. I got a couple more, Sam, before I let you go here. Let's see where I'm at here. The next thing I was going to ask is, how nice is it to go to a team where you already know a couple of guys, right? You got your guy Tommy out there, you got Campbell there too, so that's going to be kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Like, whenever I heard that that Tommy was coming, I heard about Tommy before, so I was really excited because Tommy's just a great guy.
Yeah. You
know, great guy to have around. He's a great team guy, always with a positive attitude. He's going to show up to work every day with a smile on his face. And then I heard about Soups, I heard about Campbell. I was kind of surprised because at the time, kind of towards the beginning of the fall, I reached out to Soups because Houston was interested in, you know, in signing me and all that. They were talking to me or whatever. And I think that he was going to go to Houston.
Interesting.
So that one definitely surprised me whenever I saw that he was coming to Dallas. But I think – didn't Campbell sign with Dallas last year?
Campbell was supposed to go to Dallas last year and then just kind of when that fell through. I know all those like old Raptors guys got put into a second like expansion draft where they got dispersed, and it sounds like he just kind of, you know, fell through the cracks and he has been playing, you know, back with the club for a while. But so I'm excited to see him get to, you know, go back to Dallas and actually do it right this year.
Oh man, me too. I mean, Campbell's a really, you know, he's a playmaker. He's an explosive player.
Yeah.
What's funny is, like, you know, looking at him, you might not think so, but that dude is an animal on the pitch, man. Like, does it all.
He's very smart, too. He knows what's going on.
And then on top of that, you know, having a guy like Stoops down, I mean, Stoops has our rugby background, so he's been playing for a long time, and then he knows how I am and my style of play and all that. He'll be another good guy to listen to whenever I get down there. I mean, and on top of that, as well as, you know, all the guys that they signed, you know, overseas. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, like, literally over half of our guys on the squad are international guys. So,
right.
Just having those older guys that are from overseas, being able to learn from them and kind of get their perspective of everything and, you know, kind of learn from their game and all that. I'm really looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome learning opportunity. Just get in there and see more rugby and see how, you know, somebody else does a little differently. It's just going to make you better overall. That's going to be awesome, man. I know you mentioned Tommy with his smile on his face. I've never seen him without one. He's always smiling, man.
All the time, man. All the time. I mean, it's good energy. You know, there's somebody with the whole. So one of the big things with the Jackals organization is, you know, it's for one, I mean, they want to make sure everybody's happy. Mental health is really important. But they really want to have like a really good family type of atmosphere in Dallas and kind of build off that and start that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, me, that's, you know, how I am, man. That's definitely good news for me.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and on top of that, I mean, just all the support we have and all the backing, you know, we were on a Zoom call the other day with the whole team and all that for the first time. And dude, like two of the three of our owners apparently have ties like with the Mavericks and the Rangers, like high up. So
I've heard that with like Cuban and stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm sure you saw a Cuban post on Twitter about the USA rugby. Kind of, I think that was during the spring or fall.
Big time rugby guy. Played at Indiana, I believe. Man.
So just knowing, you know, that we got Cuban support, we got those guys support, I'm really excited to see, you know, what we're going to do, you know, all the community outreach, we're going to get to do all that with them. And it should, dude, that's just, I can't really say how happy or how excited I am about, you know, ending up there, man. Things come true, bro.
I know, I could tell. It's coming through, man. It's coming through the call. That's my next question, is just like, what are you most excited about? If you had to pick one thing, can you even pick one thing?
Man, I don't know, dude. I would say it's a handful of stuff. I mean, my parents had, we used to go to a bunch of the Rangers games as a kid growing up, and just being able to like kind of realize that, dude, like I'm going to get to go to work there every day, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a real, it all comes full circle, you know?
For sure. That's awesome, man. Sam, what's the rest of the offseason look like for you? I know you mentioned your report date. What day was that?
We got to get down there December 28th, and I want to say we start up preseason camp on January 4th.
Nice.
So for the time being right now, I'm just back in Longview bartending, making some cash, and you know, staying in shape, you know, with the lifting and offseason program that they have for us, and just trying to get my mental right and get my body right. Had a couple body got banged up a little bit, trying to you know, get healthy and, you know, get ready to go so I can be 100%.
Very nice, man. And then I guess last thing is, like, have you got to go check out the facility and stuff yet? Like, have you been in and out? Have you been meeting people? Or is that kind of, you'll knock all that out here in a couple of weeks?
So I'm actually going to go down there in like a week or so. So Texas High School, they have their they have all their state championship games like on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it's all in AT&T Stadium, Harry's World, you know, where the Cowboys play.
Yep.
And so I reached out to Elaine, our GM, and everything, and I think we have a date set up in like a week for me to come down there, check everything out, look at the facilities, meet the front office, the coach. So Michael Hodge, I think he's still in Australia, and a couple of other coaches are still overseas, so I won't be able to get to meet them, but I'll get to meet the front office, see the facilities, and kind of get a feel to where I'm going to be going to work every day.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I've seen, you know, I've just seen the pictures and stuff as they've been, you know, getting all this ready to go for the last year and some change. So it looks cool. I'm going to be a Dallas Jackals fan, I think I've said that on this podcast before. I'm going to root for you. So I'm going to make it down there. I'm going to catch a match, Sam, so I'm going to hit you up when I make it down there this year.
Oh, man, please do. You know, I'm going to definitely bless you with some merch and all that, too, once I get down there.
I appreciate it, man. I need it. I need some kit, man. I love it. So that's all the questions I have for you, Sam. Usually leave this last part open. If you just want to, you know, shout anything out, you want to push socials or anything, feel free.
Yeah, man. I just want to say, you know, thank you to the whole American Raptors organization, Peter Pass, Mark Bullock, all you guys up there. I mean, just really thank you for the opportunity to come up there and just give me a shot, because, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be in this position where I'm in right now. And also, you know, shout out to my friends and family back in East Texas, 903. Really appreciate the support and all the love that you've given me throughout this journey, man. What's up?
That's what it's all about, Sam. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Sam Phillips. No, I certainly did. Really good guy. Love catching up with Sam. Just a nice dude overall. Wishing him the best, obviously, with his family situation. That's never fun. So we're all behind Sam. But I'm glad he took the time to come chat with me, and I can't wait to watch him play rugby down in Dallas here in a couple of months. So let's go ahead and jump into the required reading portion of the show. And this is, I'm sure you saw this floating around. I saw this a couple days ago, Monday or Tuesday. World Rugby to enter digital collectible space with new best-in-class NFT experiences for fans. I will link this article in the description and the article that houses this podcast like I do every week. But as I was sitting down to write the show, I talked a little bit about this in this upcoming interview. I get to the NFT part. I'm vaguely aware of what NFTs are. I sort of know. I get the general idea. But as it comes, time to sit and talk about this, I very quickly realized, like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to tell you guys what this means or if this is good for rugby or anything like that. So I started racking my brain. How can I make a good segment out of this? And I realized my friend Cameron, one of my guys from college, he's got an extensive graphic design background. I know he's done a lot of sports graphic design. He's done a lot of graphic design just in a bunch of different capacities. And very recently, since this summer, I've seen he's been getting very into NFTs. Heard kind of just from around the grapevine that he would be the man to talk to. So I reached out to him, sent him the link, and he was all for it. So jumped on the phone with Cameron, and he gave a very in-depth description and just like a very good take on what World Rugby's doing, what it means, how they may go about doing it, what that means for fans, and just a really good crash course in NFTs and how NFTs can coexist with rugby. So I thought it was a really good conversation. Very thankful that I got Cameron on the phone, and I hope you enjoy this conversation with my guy Cameron Kinchin. All right, now we welcome a very special guest onto the show. My guy Cameron Kinchin. He has several years of experience in the sports graphic design world. He's, I guess, newly introduced to the NFT space, I guess you could say. Wouldn't you say, Cameron, back in July, you've kind of been in the NFT space. So, Cameron, how's it going, man?
Good, good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for coming on and talking to me about this. So the reason I have you on, Cameron, the people that listen to the show regularly will know, we have a segment called Required Reading. So that's when I pick out an article that I find interesting that kind of came out throughout the week, and I assign it as homework. You got to read it. Just something, something I think is like cool or touching or, just kind of anything. And the one that caught my eye this week was this piece or this release that World Rugby put out, entitled World Rugby to Enter Digital Collectible Space with New Best-in-Class NFT Experiences for Fans. And so when I saw this, I think I saw this on Monday or Tuesday. I saw it pretty early on in the week. I immediately made a note of it, and then my process every Thursday, I sit down, I start to write out the show, and I'm like, how in the world am I going to talk about this NFT thing? Because I feel like I have a little bit of a basic understanding of it, but I don't know, It's still foreign to me, so I started racking my brain. Who do I know that knows about NFTs? And you're the first person that came to mind, so that's why I have you on the show. I sent you the article, and I wanted to get your opinion on a couple of things.
Of course, yeah. So it sounds like my homework's already done. I read through it, quick little read. So, and to kind of touch on what you were mentioning earlier, I've been in the NFT space, I think, since July, which, looking back, it doesn't seem like a lot, but apparently in the NFT world, that's like, years in the space, which I have seen a lot of, changing and, evolution of the space, and, it does move quick. So the fact that, you saw this and read it Monday, so much room for, progression in this space has probably already happened within those last 3 days. So yeah, it's definitely innovative and, a whole new world that, sports and, players and fans can all interact with. So yeah, I'd say if you got questions, shoot them away, and I'm happy to answer whatever you have today.
I've got a few. So my process too with this. It was hard to come up with questions because I don't really know what I'm asking. So I guess the first one, right off the top, we're going to just ask the most basic one. What is an NFT?
So yeah, an NFT, or, the full title is a non-fungible token. And that essentially is, the roundabout way to put it is it's a kind of a one-of-one item that essentially you own code to, and that code can be, associated with art, it can be associated with, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the space. So essentially it can be associated with anything as long as that code is written and associated to that asset. It is proof of ownership that, you know, you purchased it for, you know, X amount, and then it is held by you for a certain period of time. And until, you know, either that changes hands or, you know, is purchased or transferred. So that's kind of the long answer shortened. You know, there's tons of different facets and avenues to go, but it's essentially the non-fungible part is there's no monetary value associated with it per se. It's only what, you know, the buyer, consumer, seller all agree and what the market is. And so that can kind of ebb and flow. And that's kind of where you get, you know, where crypto's hot these days, and, you know, you see all these rises and falls and people saying, you know, they bought in at this time and it was the right time. It's all just kind of a consumer's market, and it's what, you know, that microcosm kind of makes of the space.
Interesting. So I guess, like, you read the article, right? Like, I sent it over to you. You said you looked through it. So, like, and what, how do you imagine what World Rugby's trying to do? Like, what is the NFT going to be? Is there a bunch of different ones? Like, because I've seen, like, in other things, right, it could be the way I kind of, it makes sense in my brain, it's kind of like a trading card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like, you think World Rugby's going to take this in a way where you buy, like, a GIF or something, or, like, a video?
Yes,
it's gonna be like,
yeah,
a picture? Like, how if this was up to you, how would you, I guess, go about creating these NFTs for World Rugby?
Yeah, so definitely the thing that caught my mind is it was to capture kind of like moments in the space, you know, big plays, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I've seen other NFTs do something similar. One that comes to mind is Top Shot.
I was going to ask you about this.
You know, yeah. So that it seems like World Rugby is kind of taking notes out of Top Shot, which I think is, you know, great. It's definitely, you know, each market has their own, you know, clientele, their own fan base, and different people that will interact with their content for different reasons. And I think that's why the NFT space is so, you know, innovative right now, is there's tons of different projects out there all trying to do, you know, different things. Some have overlap. It's just about, you know, kind of what owning that NFT means to, you know, you, what, you know, a lot of the times I look at utility and what comes along with that. And that's definitely, I think, something that World Rugby is touching on, you know, owning a moment or owning, you know, part of being a part of that, I think is a big thing. And how I see that is very much, you know, from a photographic standpoint, you know,
right,
it's a moment in time that's been captured and is now forever immortalized on the blockchain. And depending on what I've seen with Top Shot do is, you know, you have a limited time to claim this moment. And if you miss that window, you're kind of, you know, SOL on that, and you kind of just have to, you know, move on. And it's kind of a way that, you know, a lot of what I see in the sports world is, you know, most people are collectors. It's all right about, you know, collecting jerseys, collecting memorabilia, trading cards, so on. So I would, you know, say NFTs are that same thing, just digitalized and, you know, on the blockchain. And so I see a lot of moments like that, you know, could happen. So yes, it could be, you know, trading cards of specific players. It could be, you know, photos of moments that are
right,
either been signed by the athletes that are in there, or, you know, just moments of history in general. And I think that's kind of the most broad strokes to it. And then where I think it goes into a little bit more the unknown, and I think what a lot of people are trying to do is essentially, again, you have utilizing the NFT code or the blockchain to its, you know, entire benefit to, you know, the consumer. And so how I see that too is if they start doing exclusive events, you know, you have to buy in or, you know, be gifted or have ownership of said NFT to, you know, attend exclusive events,
okay,
or be able to, you know, go to certain things like that. And a project that I'm currently working on, we're called Tools of Rock. We're trying to, you know, be innovative in the music scene of the NFT space. And we're focusing a lot on kind of creating a concert venue or a music venue that, you know, you can go anywhere in the world, but still be able to experience a live show in a metaverse. So we're creating that space. And what we want to do with, you know, the NFT portions of it is kind of almost make it like season tickets or tickets to a show, tickets to a game. And that's kind of almost where I see World Rugby maybe doing something similar to where, again, you purchase a ticket. There's no, you know, worries of someone taking that ticket, like SeatGeek or Ticketmaster. There's always those QR code scams and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff like that that goes on where in the NFT space, I don't really see that happening as, again, the code is linked back to you and everything is documented. So I definitely think in, you know, the live event space, that's kind of where we're seeing movement to. So I definitely think World Rugby is kind of poised nicely to kind of hit and combat all these different angles, especially from a fan perspective, and really kind of give back to the fans and also give them kind of ownership in the sport itself and just, you know, pride to, you know, support rugby and be passionate about rugby and just, again, continue that conversation off, you know, the field, off, you know, from when the game's not on, and, you know, take it more into a real world application. And then, you know, as well as, you know, making it a tradable and consumable item that, you know, who knows, maybe at the end of the day, you can profit off it as well. And, you know, again, the NFT space, there's so many avenues to go, and it's hard to exactly say what's going to happen. And I'm sure you're, you know, the little bit of reading that you've done on it, it's definitely, you kind of get lost real quick. Yeah. And also, you know, from today, from, you know, 2 weeks from now, the whole concept of what they have maybe planned out could change completely, could change 10 times in that amount of time. Right. That's just how quickly the space moves. And it's just how are they going to activate uniquely in said space? So I think that's kind of the, again, long-winded, but the roundabout way to kind of answer that.
That is insane, man. That is insane that there's like this many different directions you can take stuff and that people think of this, honestly. Like, this is blowing my mind even just kind of talking to you about it.
Right, and it's not going to stop either. I still think we're kind of at, you know, the precipice of this. And as more players get into this, you know, I think there's more opportunities for players to receive benefits of their own and, you know, really, you know, benefit off contracts and, you know, not having to be, you know, have, I don't know, a more opportunistic vantage point for players themselves to take ownership in, you know, their successes and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of the thing that I'm liking in this space. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot of like musical artists and, you know, stuff get into the space for that reason, to kind of get away from like the record label sides of things and get away from, you know, all these club contracts and stuff like that, where, again, you can have your own brand as a human, as an athlete, as a performer, and make something of yourself, of your name, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that you own and you're in control of, and it's kind of hard for anyone to screw you out of it. That makes sense to me. So I guess the next question I have for you, Cameron, is like, how hard is this stuff to make? And then you can correct me if I'm wrong. Like, Top Shot, NBA Top Shot, does NBA, do they have the rights to all that since they have rights to all the footage and all that stuff? Like, how hard is that stuff to make?
Yeah, so from that perspective, I would assume, you know, the NBA, obviously a well-known entity, they've got photographers, they own all these assets. So for them, I'd say it's pretty easy. They have they have the money, they have the means, they have everything that they need to kind of have a project that is geared towards, you know, their success. I would say, you know, World Rugby is probably poised in the same way. You know, they have all this stuff. So I definitely see them, you know, really being able to activate on this efficiently and effectively and really make a really good product out of it. The everyday users, I think that's where it comes to be a little bit more intangible in a sense, not really, but if you're going to be building like a project, I'd almost think of it almost as like a small company or stuff like that, if you really want to do it effectively, just because you do need, you know, you need developers, you need Discord moderators, you need Discord creators, you need graphic designers, you need social media people. Like, it really becomes,
you're building like an entire different department of whatever your organization is, it sounds like.
Correct. Yeah. And you also have to think about, so the people that end up buying your NFTs are almost like, you know, shareholders, right, or stakeholders in your company. And they're buying into your product because they believe in it and they believe in you, what your team's doing. And they also believe that, you know, in turn, they might profit or benefit from it in some way, shape, or form. Again, if that's from, you know, flipping these assets, or if it is from gaining collectibles or experiences and, you know, whatever that trade looks like. But essentially, it's it's hard for just someone to get in the space. I think it's a little different from, you know, my perspective, and my community definitely runs deep with, you know, more of the artistic type and, right, you know, illustrators, creators, stuff like that. So there's means to, like, you know, put your artwork out there and just kind of do one-offs, or what the, you know, NFT community calls one of ones. That's pretty easy to do. Groups like OpenSea, which I always say is like the eBay, the NFT space. That's kind of, you know, your marketplace.
I've seen Von Miller talking about that a lot.
Yeah. And so Von Miller, like, I know he's running some circles that, you know, I have. He had some Tools of Rock. I believe he still has some Tools of Rock. I know he's been doing some of his other stuff. And I would assume with him being, you know, a well-recognized athlete, it won't be long until, you know, he's coming out with his own NFT, or if, right, you know, he already has, continue to leak more, you know, releases out and stuff like that. But it's definitely being, you know, OpenSea allows individuals to, you know, mint their own NFTs, but it really comes back to, you know, what's the collectible, what's the utility. Like, if there's usually what I see is a lot of projects or a lot of collections that are anywhere from 3,000 to 10,000, you know, quantities, mm-hmm, essentially. And so that just helps build this kind of ecosystem that you'll get like-minded individuals who are trading. There's also rarities within, you know, your different builds. Everything slightly has the same look and feel, but different traits have different,
right,
you know, rarities, which make them more sought after. And, you know, again, that just goes back into the whole collectibility of it,
right,
all.
That's
so just,
that sounds like you're describing Pokemon cards to me. Like,
there's
Charizard, but this Charizard is holographic or something, and they only made 20 of these, whereas you could get this Charizard that's not holographic, and they made 100 of these, right? Like, that sounds kind of what you're describing. Okay.
It all goes back to Pokemon cards. And I mean, that's kind of exactly what the whole thing is. I mean, and I know probably your fans, or, you know, your listeners of your podcast are very familiar with, you know, trading any types of sport memorabilia cards. I didn't have much of that experience growing up, but the connection to, you know, Pokemon cards, that hits very close to home. So it's, it's, you know, potato, potato. It's all the same thing. You know, again, the people who made these cards, they knew what they were doing. They knew it could be profitable. And I would say NFTs are almost just the digital,
right,
internet side of it. And, you know, it just comes with the added benefit of having code and, you know, ownership to it. That, again, what everyone says is, oh, I can just right click and save your image. Yeah, that's true. But you don't get to then, you know, say when you sell it, or, you know, be able to utilize, again, the additional properties that come with it. So it's very much that from the outsider's perspective, it seems odd, but kind of once you're in the space and you start, you know, really peeling back the layers to all these different projects, there are tons and tons of benefits. And it, to me, it's just not going to stop.
Right. And that sort of makes sense to me, I guess. Like, once I get, I don't know, I feel like I've been looking at NBA Top Shot for a while now. So that does make sense. But that thing, right, you say, like, you, of course you could right click any image and it's on your computer, but that's like taking a picture of the Mona Lisa, right? Like, you don't own the Mona Lisa, mm-hmm, but you have a picture of the Mona Lisa, right. I guess, sort of. So I guess that kind of gets into my next question, Cameron. This has been really interesting, man. Thank you for jumping on. So I got a couple more before I let you go. So I guess in terms, like, of that release, right, it said that World Rugby put out a request for information and they're looking for a prospective supplier. So do you know what that means? Like, are they looking for somebody to, like, help them do this? Is that what that means? Or what is a prospective supplier?
I think, that kind of comes with a multitude of things that we talked on. Either, yes, they're looking for either a group who's already been in the NFT space.
And that was going to be my next question. Is there a big group like that, that kind of is, you know, I don't even know what to equate it to. Like, is there a big, like, kingpin, sort of, like, a couple groups that have risen to the top as like the NFT people?
So the ones that come to mind, you know, we've got, you know, the Bored Ape Yacht Club, which I'm sure everyone's seen.
Yeah, I've seen
and
all
that's,
those.
That's the kind of, that's been the forefront of what's going on. And a lot more athletes and musicians have been getting into the space, and they're all buying apes, and it's kind of a status symbol. I wouldn't say, you know, that group is who's building it. I think the collectors themselves, you know, value themselves at kind of like this upper echelon, just because, you know, they've kind of made history and right. they keep making history. And, you know, these people have profited off these pictures of monkeys, essentially. And they've been trading monkey art and, you know, making their own projects and going on to build their own team. So they're very innovative in the space. I think there's a lot that goes back to Bored Ape, but I wouldn't say that they're kind of, you know, this kingpin in the creative space, I'd say. You know, we've also got a group called Punks, which are similar, but they're like 8-bit, you know.
Yeah, I've seen those too.
People looking. They're also not very, you know, aesthetically pleasing in my mind. It's kind of the low end of the art spectrum. So it's, again, I wouldn't collect it from the art base, but there's definitely a utility behind it. And it's now kind of become this like club that you have to pay X amount of money to get into. And kind of once you're into it, you get all the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of like the innovators of the space. But when it comes to the actual teams, that's been kind of the interesting thing that I've learned over the last couple months, you know, and my own position included. So to kind of give you some background, I was hit up, you know, on Twitter. Some guy was looking for an artist. I tweeted back at him and said, I like to art. 5 minutes later, I was on a phone call. And the next thing, I'm now deep into an NFT project of my own. And so it's very much like, it's just a, you know, a couple people all coming together. You know, we all have different skill sets and, you know, we kind of have built a team. And once you kind of have a team set and you kind of know what's going on, it is just all a matter of, you know, branching out and teaming up with other people. And, you know, if other people have ideas that they want to bring to it and, you know, they just need a certain, it's like Shark Tank. It's like, hey, we'll offer you X amount for, you know, this. And it's just a matter of if the team, you know, wants to, you know, run forward with, you know, graphics and, you know, Discord stuff and social media, you know, again, what they're looking for. So if that is in fact what, you know, World Rugby's looking for is like a team who's, you know, developed and kind of knows what's there. Yes. The other way is, you know, you kind of build it yourself, you know, you kind of hire, there's a bunch of people in the space that, you know, are almost like NFT gurus that, you know, they know the market, they see what's happening, there's trends, and you can kind of hire them to kind of, you know, help facilitate those type of stuff. And that's been the weird part too with this market is there's so many jobs being created. I mean, no one's going to college to be a Discord moderator, but they're in demand right now, and it's crazy. And it's just, you know, you're in the space and you're becoming fluent or with what's going on, and that's really all it takes. So it, as we continue to see growth in the space, I think, you know, we'll start to see more groups that are, you know, like NFT startups, like, hey, we'll get your platform up and running. From there, you kind of take it away. And, you know, I think that's one facet of it. Or if they are just looking for designers, then that's kind of the I'd say the easier end of it is finding an artist to work with. I think that's kind of where things start, and then you kind of build out around that. But to your point, and again, long answer, not short, but essentially, I think, yeah, they're just kind of looking for, they have the idea, now they just need to facilitate it because it doesn't sound like they're familiar in the space, and they want to do their due diligence and do it right and, you know, activate correctly the first time around and not squander this opportunity and not, you know, just throw it away to just some people who are only going to half-ass it, you know, like, I think they're truly looking for a team to take this concept to the next level and really make it, again, almost probably a competitor with Top Shot, you know, similar ideas, but more geared towards the rugby world.
That's interesting, man. That's so crazy. Like, just the more you talk about it, I'm just like blown away by it. So,
And it's also so crazy too, because like we're only hitting the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of us NFT enthusiasts, you know, we kind of get a bad rap for ourselves because it is kind of like we don't stop talking because it is, it, I don't know, it's such a new innovative space and there's so much to do in it. I don't know. It's like a kid in a candy shop. Like, you kind of just want to do it all and experience it all. But, you know, it's overwhelming at the same time. It's like, I don't know, you kind of have to take a step back, take it piece by piece, understand a little bit more. But it is such a fun space to talk about and, you know, bring new people in that, you know, probably have never, you know, this might be their first time really hearing what an NFT is and stuff like that. And I do hope that, you know, some of your listeners are piqued by this and, you know, they start to go do their own market research and to see what's out there. Cause I will say there's tons of sports related, you know, assets out there currently. It's just now a matter of, you know, what you're looking to buy into, kind of what it's, again, it's all it's all, you know, stocks and trading at the end of the day. Yeah. It's like, what do you want to invest your time and money and effort into? And, you know, that's kind of, I guess, you know, the start of it. And from there, it kind of just snowballs.
Right. So I guess my last question, Cameron, I have for you is kind of a difficult one in the sense, because what I wrote is like, is this early or late? Like, is World Rugby early or late? And I guess, you know, it would make sense, right, that they're late. They're the latest they could be because this is where we are at this point in time right now. So I guess the better question is like, where are they relative to some of the other, you know, sports, like governing bodies and competitions, right? Like, we know NBA Top Shot exists, and then the NBA is kind of always on the front foot of everything, right? Whether it be letting people use their highlights and stuff on social media. They're always just kind of ahead of everyone, but like, where is World Rugby relative to other things, right? Like, do you know off the top of your head if like baseball NFTs are big? Is it soccer NFTs? Like, are those big? Just kind of curious as what your, you know, your perspective is on that.
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And it definitely, I don't think there's an easy way to answer that. And I think the best way too is I'm going to say it's a little of both. You know, they are a little late to the game, but they're also super incredibly early. Yeah. And that's the fun part about this space. In the, you know, the grand scheme of things, they're early. I still think a lot of people are early. You know, where I think with, you know, Facebook getting involved and, you know, it becoming NFTs kind of becoming more of a well-known, you know, just common day word, acronym, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
It's starting, you know, grandmas and grandpas are starting to understand what NFTs are. And, you know, I think at that point it is becoming definitely very much mainstream, which is good. And I think, you know, Coinbase, who is going to be a competitor with OpenSea, they're getting into the, you know, the space as well, which is going to bring in millions of new eyeballs. And so as we continue to just get more and more people into the space, it's only going to grow. So, you know, getting in now, I'd still say you're early. And it's not it's kind of like a pyramid scheme, but not really, but it still is, you know, you're in now. And it's hard to like, it's like, oh, shoot, I have said that, but it kind of is. I mean, if you get in now, everyone who gets in after you will only continue to build further down the pyramid. Why you keep seeing. And that's why I think Bored Ape is, you know, so elevated in their position, is because they were early into the space. They had all these assets that, you know, were bought for, you know, a decent amount of money, but then as Ethereum grew, all their assets grew as well, and it just become a more sought after, you know, asset. So for them, they were definitely early. It's still early for them. They're still developing. So that's what I always say. I don't think we're too late into the game at all. Things are going to ebb and flow. You know, as politicians still talk about how they're going to view, you know, these type of trades and assets, and, you know, is it decentralized? Is it not? What government owns it? You know, again, as these conversations continue to grow, it's only going to get more people, you know, tuned into it and then also into the space. So for World Rugby on that counter side is, yeah, I think they are a little bit late to the game, you know, with NBA Top Shot doing kind of that same type of thing. I know some NFL or NHL players like Matt Dubna.
I'm not sure. That sounds good to me, though.
Matt Dubna, yeah. he's been getting into the space and being more of a philanthropist in, you know, certain things, and, you know, doing more charitable donations. And so he's got one called Etched, or, you know, he's teamed up with a company called Etched. I see a lot more of, you know, the football side of things coming in. There's a group called Pigskin Apes, and I think there's a couple other groups in the space that are doing somewhat similar, but they're essentially doing you know, like fantasy football, and you kind of mint an ape with a certain number on a certain team. And depending on how they play, you kind of get kicked back with Ethereum or other things just for, you know, owning that asset. And so there's so many different ways the sports world is tackling the NFT space head on that, again, there's so many ways to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're late, but they're also early because, you know, I think they're position nicely that they can do their own type of, for, you know, sure, rugby specific NFT. It's just a matter of what do they want to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the question that they're now kicking back to everyone else with that call to action of, you know, inviting people to kind of bring those conversations to them because they do want it to be great. And I do, you know, praise them for not just kind of jumping in. It's risky to kind of, you know, put this out there that's saying, hey, we're getting in the space, because, you know, if they're not in it by next week, someone could have a rugby based NFT.
Yeah, could undercut them.
That, exactly.
That is so, one thing I noticed in that release. Like, I clicked on the hyperlink, right? So you could look at the request for information, and it was like, all this stuff is due by Christmas Eve. And I remember I was thinking to myself, like, man, that seems pretty quick, but just based off of everything you said, it kind of sounds like it has to be that way.
Mm-hmm. And it very much is. It's, which I would say that's definitely a quick turnaround, but at the same time, the space does move fast, and there will be someone who wants to activate in the space. Yeah. They will get it done in time. And, you know, I think everyone will see monetary gains from it. Wow. So I think that's, you know, that's the big draw that I think, you know, there's a lot. I mean, it's the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know, anyone can come in and, you know, be the next bad guy in town and kind of just take over, or, you know, be the hero and, you know, start up your own type of thing. Like, who knows? Again, it's so uncharted that no one knows what they're doing, but people see other people doing the same type of things, right, and they acknowledge that that's working. I want to do that. And then they kind of, you know, refine and, you know, put something out there that's similar. So, and again, that's with World Rugby's regard, they're definitely echoing Top Shot. Yeah. But again, if they can do it well and they can do it successfully and they can really get a community behind them, that's
a successful
project. Yeah. In my mind, it's really about, you know, the fans or, you know, the people who are collecting said assets. If you've got a good group, you know, you're never going to fail.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the biggest takeaways too, I've seen in these spaces, is the projects that do well are the ones that just have genuine humans behind it that are either, you know, passionate about what's going on, helpful, friendly, you know, they're not here to gatekeep. They're not here to just take people's money. It's literally about, you know, growing together and just, you know, interacting with this product. And at the end of the day, if you can get on a Discord or you can get on social media and, you know, meet some new people just because you all have a similar shared love of something, I think, you know, the world only grows and gets closer that way. So, and especially as we've had, you know, the last couple of years of being so excluded from each other, I definitely think these type of digital spaces are becoming a more sought after experience, especially, again, back to, if you can offer a metaverse or you can offer some type of virtual place for all these people to meet up and, you know, be connected by just sitting behind your computer.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's kind of the next thing. So maybe it is digital rugby games. Maybe it's, you know, who knows what it is, but that's the fun part.
Right.
You could sit back and literally write 1,000 ideas down on a board and you could probably make an NFT of each and every one. Exactly.
Interesting, man.
So it's crazy. That's the biggest takeaway. The space is crazy.
All right, Cameron, that's all the questions I have for you, man. I thought this was awesome.
Oh, that's it? Let me off easy.
Well, I probably have a few more.
I can talk for hours.
Yeah, we could catch up down the road, I guess. So, Cameron, thank you so much, man. I usually leave this last part open. If feel free to push socials or anything. If you want, push your store. If you got some NFTs we can buy, however we can, let us know right here.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm on social media pretty much everywhere as either at Cameron Kinchin or at Cameron Kinchin Design. It's for more of my art-based stuff. I have an Etsy shop. I've got, you know, I do my own illustrations and stuff like that, always trying to, you know, get my work out there. And also, I've touched on it a couple times throughout this, but the NFT that, you know, I've pretty much created a lot of the artwork and branding for is a group called Tools of Rock. We are a music-based NFT that's focusing on building a metaverse concert venue and bringing in music to the metaverse for, you know, fans of all ages, you know, genres, stuff like that. We started off with doing, you know, classic rock from the 60s and 70s. We're going to be going into the 80s and 90s. So we still have a lot of work to do. But if you're looking to get into the NFT space, I would highly suggest checking us out. I think it kind of gives a good sense of what a project can do. Right now, you know, we're kind of seeing some lower values. So it's a good chance to just kind of see what's out there. But yeah, so that's pretty much it. And I'm always open for questions. So if any of your listeners have questions, feel free to reach out to my socials. I'm always happy to chat. Door's always open. Usually it's hard for me to stop talking, in case you guys haven't noticed. So please, please bombard me, and let's be friends.
Cameron, you're the man. Thank you, brother.
Of course, dude. Thanks for having me. This is great.
All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Cameron Kinchin. Big shout out to Cameron for coming on. Thank you so much, man. That was, you know, he was kind of the perfect guy to talk to, perfect guy to tell us what this all means. And I know I certainly learned a lot in that half hour conversation. I hope you did too. And I'm just glad he came through and educated us a little bit. So thank you to Cameron. Kind of does it for required reading. So make sure you check that out. That's a little bit, you know, and that's probably the most in-depth required reading we're going to have ever, first required reading interview I'll have ever done. But I thought it was very beneficial, very informational, and I really enjoyed it. So I guess we'll go ahead and close the show out with the loop. I know I sound like a broken record, but I am working on a couple cool projects I think people will really enjoy, be super interested in once I can get one or two more interviews done. I've got in touch with the right people now. It's just a matter of getting it on the books and knocking out the interview. So hopefully in the next few weeks, going to try to get this stuff out before the end of the year. I know I've been talking about it since October, but I really am trying to do my best, do my due diligence, check all my boxes, cover all my bases, make sure I get the best interviews I can that make the most sense in a timely manner, of course. So keep up with that. The best way you can do that is by following along on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby. At Colton Strickler is my personal if you're interested, but that's where you'll be seeing all this stuff coming out. Keep up with everything we've got going on. See some news, see some funny stuff. We've been trying to really bolster up the Twitter these last couple of days, and seems to be working. So big shout out to everybody that's been following along. Got a couple of new followers. So I hope you check out the show, and I hope you enjoyed it. I think that's it. I think that's the show for the week. So thank you to everybody for listening. Hope you had a great day. Hope you had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy all the rugby this weekend. There's less than there usually is, but enjoy it all the same. And I will catch you all back here next week.